A reading from the book of Luke. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front, sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him, glorifying God and all the people when they saw it, praised God. As I pondered this reading, I was drawn to Jesus. He walks along in a crowd, probably exhausted, tired of being around people. This is probably how our political candidates were feeling as they neared the end of the election campaign. This is how Dominican itinerant preachers could feel after spending months preaching and being with those that they minister to. A man is by the side of the road. He listens as the people pass him by each day. Something is different this time. He notices. He has heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. Now, some commentaries say that this text has been placed here to illustrate that the blind man sees who Jesus is, while the disciples did not. They just weren't getting it. And while this may be true, I still found myself being drawn to the actions of Jesus in this story. What made him stop? The street is crowded and noisy, but the blind man is persistent. He shouts not once, but twice. And the translation that the gospel writers have used did not just say that he shouted out. It was more of an animal cry or a shriek. It's pretty hard not to pay attention to that. People in the crowd hush him and attempt to quiet him. Maybe this is what provokes Jesus to notice. Does he first see or hear the man, or does he notice the crowd telling a man to be quiet, telling him that he is not worth being noticed or heard? Can you imagine the disciples' indignation when Jesus asks that the man be brought to him? What does he want to do with this blind beggar? There is something happening here. Possibly Jesus wants us to notice that when we listen, each person has something to teach us, something of value. And something is about to change in this man. He possesses something within himself that Jesus is about to elicit. Jesus does not offer him platitudes such as, "I'm sorry for your situation," nor does he condemn the man as many Jews of the time would have done and ask, "What sins have you committed?" He asks a question. He attempts to understand and he acts out of compassion. He physically says, "Here I am." And then he actually says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Even Jesus may not know what the beggar is about to ask, but Jesus desires to understand the man's situation and he listens first. Jesus already has heard and he knows that this man understands who he is, because he called out to him as Son of David. The man then begs, "Lord, please let me see." Jesus draws the man out and liberates him from his blindness by the simple act of listening and being present. Jesus recognized that by virtue of his faith, the man already sees more than the others. The man's life is now changed, and he goes forth to proclaim God's glory. This is how preaching, teaching, or just living and being present can be for us. We have a passage from Scripture before us, and we beg, "Lord, help me to see." God lets us struggle until we beg for illumination. We humble ourselves before him, and still, he doesn't make it easy. He asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" He's not going to do the work for us. We must dig down deep, listen, persist, pay attention, and then go off to a quiet place where we are free of daily distractions. All of these actions were modeled for us by Jesus, our great teacher. He struggled just as we do, for he knew that only faith in God has the power to transform us. Eventually, our struggles, our begging and listening, lead to a conversation. And when we truly are present as Jesus was, stopping everything, the push of the crowd and all of the noise that we call life, we say, "Here I am. What do you want? What words of love, presence, and acceptance can I offer?" If we risk ourselves, then our conversation may lead to a conversion of our own hearts. And when we preach, we invite everybody, including ourselves, to that larger world.